Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about some things I just want to share with you this morning. And I pray and trust that the Lord will encourage all of our hearts. I believe the Lord wants His people to be encouraged and to be blessed. I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians 6 and 3. And we will probably read a number of scriptures through this time. But I want to start with this third verse. It says, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. You know, I know that Paul was writing, talking about the ministry, maybe as a ministers, preachers. But you know, this morning I want us to all think about something. I hope you consider yourself a minister. I have always considered that the Lord wanted me to be a minister to people, whether I was called to preach or not. He wants us to be ministers to people. And I want to think about that this morning. It says here, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And I want to come back to that, but in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18 to 20, it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what reconciliation is? It means we're bringing peace between two parties. That's what reconciling is. And the Lord has given to us, I believe to His whole, all of His people, He has given the ministry of reconciliation. And it says, going on here, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know, the Lord is not wanting to impute people's sin to them. He wants them to be reconciled to Him. He wants to forgive that. He wants people to serve Him. He wants every one of us here to serve Him this morning. And so He's committed to you and me the word of reconciliation. He's committed to us to help others to see that God wants them to be saved, that the Lord wants them to be reconciled to God. He's not looking at how bad someone's been. He's looking at how much He would like for there to be that gap closed between us and God if we're away from the Lord. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We're ambassadors for Christ. That's what we're here this morning for. That is what we do when we go out in the world. We are ambassadors. We are taking and standing in for another country, another kingdom. We're to people, we are presenting the kingdom of God, the blessing that the Lord wants to have in your life and mine. You know, God wants to touch your life today, and He wants you to be reconciled to Him. And He has committed to His people that ministry, that we go out and help people to be reconciled to God and to one another. It says, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You know, the Lord bore our sin. Here He had no sin, the Bible says, and yet He bore our sin, didn't He? You know, this morning, I just want us to think a little bit about some of these, about these verses that we're fixing to read. It says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. Now, I want to just talk a little bit about some of those things this morning. You know, we know that Jesus Himself said, ye are the light of the world. Now, who's the light of the world? The Lord's the light of the world. But He wants the world to see His light through us. We are His ambassadors. We have the word of reconciliation to people. We have the word that heals people's lives of their ills and of the things that come in people's lives. God has that for us, doesn't He? And He wants us to shine that forth to Him, to them. He said, "You are the light of the world." And He said, "A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." You know, He wants us to be a city set on a hill. The Lord doesn't want His people to be down in the valley all the time. He wants His people to be a light to the world. A city that is set on a hill, He said, cannot be hid. And He also said in the same place, He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." You know, this morning, I just want us to think about our place in this. And the way God deals with us. And the way that He wants to work through our life for other people's sake. And so, as we begin to read some of these things, I want to look at the way God deals with us. The first part of this verse here, in verse 4, He says, "In all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God." And I don't mean to take away from this that He was talking maybe to the ministry mostly, but I believe it's to all of us too. That we should approve ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. You know, God calls us in those places on purpose. God calls us as ministers of His. And I want us to think a little bit about some of these things. I wanted to read a little out of one of the commentaries. It said, "The idea is that a minister of God, in order to do good and to commend His ministry, to people, that people would believe, that people would accept the Word of God, should set an example of patience." And I want to talk about patience a while this morning. "Should set an example of patience. He preaches this as a duty to others. And if when he is poor, the minister is poor, persecuted, oppressed, calumniated, or imprisoned, he should complain or be insubmissive, the consequence would be that he would do little good by all his preaching." You know, I just want us to think about that. The commentator said this to a minister, that he would do little good by his preaching if when he falls into things, he begins to complain and he begins to be insubmissive or whatever. And it goes on to say, "And no one can doubt that God often places His ministers in circumstances of special trial, among other reasons, in order that they may illustrate their own precepts by their example." You know, we teach a lot. We teach the Bible, don't we? We believe we teach that. We try our best to teach just like it is, the Word of God. But you know, our example is what illustrates it to people. And God gives our life as an example to other people to illustrate the Word of God to them. We teach them to be patient in life, to be patient, to wait on God. You know what He does? He lets us show them by our life, doesn't He? And it says, "In order that they may illustrate their own precepts by their example and show to their people with what temper and spirit they may and ought to suffer." Ministers often do a great deal more good by their example in suffering than they do in their preaching. It is easy to preach to others. It is not so easy to manifest just the right spirit in time of persecution and trial. People, too, can resist preaching, but they cannot resist the effect and power of a good example in times of suffering. And so I would just want to talk to us a little bit about approving ourselves or commending ourselves to people and approving our ministry in the Lord. And I'm not talking to ministers, really. I'm talking to all of us this morning, that we approve our life to people as the ministers of God in much patience. You know, this morning, the Lord teaches us to be patient in our life. There's a reason that Paul wrote here And he said, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. He said that first and put a much beside it. Because it's real important, isn't it? The things of life throw so many things in our way and to us. And you know, the Lord, we have to be patient, don't we? We have to just hold on sometimes. You know what patience is? It means that we are under trial, under circumstances, under extenuating circumstances. We still just keep on plodding with the right spirit. The Lord wants us as people to do that this morning. The Lord spoke this to me. I know that. I'm taking it in. But I'm just going to share some of it with you. I feel like He inspired me to do that. But you know, this morning, there is a great value in having patience in the Lord this morning. Patiently endure. Patiently take our trials. Patiently live for the Lord. Patiently walk this way when it doesn't seem like we want to be patient. And when we want out, or when we patiently endure. The Lord is preaching a message, and He's telling us to approve our ministry to people by the things He brings to us and by the things He allows in our lives. Patiently enduring those things, bringing the gospel to others. I want to look, and we'll come back to this, Lord willing, in a few minutes. But in James 5 and 7, James tells us here, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." You know, I have seen people get saved and run hard for a few weeks, and then they just dropped out. There was something that they needed to do, wasn't it? They needed to be patient in life. They needed to be patient with the Lord. They needed to wait for Him to help them out. It goes on to say, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold the husbandman." It's talking about a farmer here. "Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." He plants it, and then he waits for some months. And they plant wheat in the fall, and then they wait until what? May or June to begin to harvest. And they patiently wait for it. And he says here, "The husbandman, the farmer, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient." He's using an illustration here. And he's telling you, be patient too. Just wait a bit. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with the Lord. Be patient with other people. Wait a little while. Just like the farmer, he says, that has to be patient. "And have long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And he says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned." You know, we fall into some trials, and it's easy for us to get a grudge against someone, isn't it? It's easy in life to pull up a grudge, because sometimes in life all of us are hurt probably on purpose from time to time. Once in a while, maybe not all the time, but all of us are hurt like that. You know, he says, don't grudge against each other. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Let him work in your life. "Lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets," those ministers that were before us, those ones that spoke the word of the Lord to people. And I'm talking to all of us speaking the word of the Lord to people this morning. "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." And he gives us another little example. He illustrates this with another person's life. Listen to what he says. "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." Now, you know, Job had to have some patience. He had to just hang on for a bit, didn't he? quite a while. He had to just stand still. He had to have patience. He had to wait on the Lord. And it says here, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." You know, this morning, I would that we all take this to our heart. The Lord has, through the years, I have loved this scripture. I want to tell you, we have seen the end of the Lord, and that He's pitiful. It means He looks on us with pity. He has compassion on us. And it says, we've seen the end of the Lord, that He's that way, and of tender mercy. You know, this morning, it ought to make us take courage. The Lord wants our life to be a life that is patiently enduring the things that come to us. Many times we have good times. Sometimes we have some really bad times, don't we? We all do. Patiently endure. Patiently serve the Lord. Keep living for Him. That's what Job did. You've heard of the patience of Job. What was his patience? When his wife said, "Curse God and die." Surely Job, all of these things that happened, all of his children were killed. All of those, it seems more than can be imagined. But we've heard of the patience of Job. He patiently endured, didn't he? But you know what? We've seen the end of the Lord too. And He blessed him more in his latter time than in his beginning. That's the way of the Lord this morning. I just want us to be patient. Be patient with the Lord. Be patient with the way He works in our lives. Sometimes it's like, "Lord, it seems like You're slow in working sometimes. Doesn't it? Has it ever to You? The Lord seems like, I've waited. Lord, I want You to show me what I'm supposed to do here. And He's slow." I remember when we were looking, "Lord, where do You want us to go? What do You want us to do in Your work?" And it seemed like the years just kind of drug on for a while. But you know what? The Lord just taught us to be patient, to wait, to wait on Him, to hear His voice. And you know, in due time, He spoke real plainly, more so than I could have imagined. The Lord did that. You know, He wants to do that for all of us. He wants to live in our lives, but we have to be patient and we have to endure. We have to live for God when we're up. We have to live for Him when we're down. I've heard the saying, "God's mill grinds slow, but it grinds fine." When it's done very, very well, isn't it? That's the way the Lord wants to do in our life. And I just want to encourage us this morning. The word that we have read about having patience, having much patience, is part of our approving our ministry to other people. They may not understand everything, but they can see one thing. They can see when we patiently love and serve God. They can see that and cannot argue with that kind of thing. So this morning, the Lord uses that. That's part of our testimony, that we don't want to give any offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, that we're impatient. The Lord wants our lives to be that way, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. You know, I was thinking about patience, not just with the Lord, because sometimes we have to be patient with Him. He's at work. We have to be patient with ourselves. You know that? We do. We have to be patient with ourselves sometimes. Sometimes we don't do as well as we wanted to do. We didn't just have all the encouraging thoughts in our hearts that we wanted to have. And the Lord let us see that, didn't He? Be patient. Draw up close to Him. Confess our needs to the Lord. "Lord, I want to be closer to You. I don't want to disappoint You or myself or others." You know, sometimes we are disappointed a little bit in ourselves. I have been. I want the Lord to draw me close. I want to be patient with myself. The Lord wants us to be patient with ourselves. And we're not talking about going out and doing wicked and evil things, but sometimes we need to grow. Growth is slow sometimes. The big oak trees don't grow overnight. They grow over a period of time. They grow because they're roots keep going down and they keep drawing moisture. They keep drawing those nutrients. God wants our life to be like that. He wants us to keep growing. He wants us to keep seeking Him. When we realize, hey, I wished I'd have really done better there. You know, that's a time for our roots to go down. And us to get in our prayer closet and begin to beg God for more strength and more blessing upon our life. And I'm not talking about doing evil and sinning. I'm talking about needs that we have. The need for us to be to other people an encouragement. Sometimes maybe we're disappointed in ourselves. I should not have my head hanging down. Well, you know, God wants to bring our head up, doesn't He? Be patient with the Lord. Be patient with ourselves, and be patient with others. I don't know about you, but people have had to be patient with me. I got to be patient with them too. I have to be patient with others. I want to be. The Lord wants us to have approve our ministry to other people with much patience in all of these areas, I believe. Be patient. If we get our eyes on them, if we get our eyes on somebody, on something that they're doing, you know, that's a mistake, isn't it? Be patient with them. Pray for them. Love them. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Be ye also patient. Just like that. Brother Bob Wilson was telling me one time when he was in the school. I don't think he minds me telling this. But he said when he was in the school, the children began to just get on him. And he just felt like they're just doing these things on purpose. And he said the Lord gave him this scripture. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And you know, Bob was a real example of patience, I know. But he had to learn some of those things. In Romans 5 and 1, just a little bit more about patience before we move on. It says here, it gives us the reason that patience is so, it's so valuable. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Folks, we need patience, don't we? Tribulation works patience. It's very hard on us. The Lord wants us to just hang in there and allow patience to have her perfect work. Allow it to have the kind of work that solidifies our life, not only in our minds, but in others, that they can see God is there. And patience, it says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience. It says patience, experience, and experience hope. You know, when we have patiently waited and we have seen God work over and over, I'll tell you what that works. It works hope. Because the next time around, we know God's there, don't we? We know He's going to come through. That's valuable, isn't it? Because when the wind comes along and wants to blow us off our feet, I will tell you, God wants us to be able to stand, knowing that the last time God helped me and the time before He helped me. And hope maketh not ashamed. When we have hope, people that have hope can keep on going, can't they? If we have hope that we can make it, if we have hope I can see God in peace, I can meet Him there, I can be saved, I can live for the Lord. If we have hope, hope maketh not ashamed. It means we don't have to lose the battle. We don't have to be ashamed at the end. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I just want to encourage us this morning. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Be a minister of it. The Lord allows us, wants us, puts us in a lot of places. All of us are in different places. God puts us in some of those places that we can be a minister to other people. And when they behold our life, have you ever looked at someone and you watch their life and you have to say, I have to have confidence in them. I've seen the grace of God work in their life too many times. For them to be able to live for God in the face of those things, they have to have the grace of God. You ever seen that? That's God. That's God working in that person's life to show that there is a God. And He wants to do that this morning. It's the way of the gospel. A light. I want us to remember this. A light is not turned on outside in the light. It's turned on in the darkness. And that's what God wants to do with our life this morning. He wants us to be patient. He wants us to patiently endure and live for Him and remember something. Our life is supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to be ministers of reconciliation to people. That's what our calling is. That's not just for the ones that preach. It's for the ones that preach by their lives. It's for the ones that preach on the job. It's for you that preach in your families. People that don't know anything about God, He wants you to preach to them by your life. We want to approve ourselves. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves, but we want to approve ourselves as the ministers of God to people that know nothing about God. He wants them to read His laws by seeing them as an example in our life. I want to look some more now in this 2 Corinthians 6 and begin to read down through here. Just seemed like this was such a tonic to my soul as I began to read. The other day, the Lord just inspired this to my heart, and I hope that He will inspire it to your heart. I want to tell you, in all things, verse 4, I know I've already read this several times, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And then it goes on with a number of other verses, and maybe we'll read some of those. You know, the Lord wants us to approve ourselves in all these things. That's what He's saying. In all of these things, He wants us to approve ourselves to other people as the ministers of God through these things. And so He allows them, maybe brings them into our life to show His great power. The Lord never plans for us to be drowned by the things of life. He wants these things to shine His glory to other people because we believe. We believe God is in control. We believe He is in our lives, do we not? In afflictions. You ever had an affliction? I have. They're not fun. And they're not easy. But I will tell you what they will do. If you let them, and you work with patience, if you're afflicted, it will draw you close to God. And I'll tell you what else it will do. It will make your fire a little hotter to other people. It will make your testimony a little stronger to other people. And I want to encourage us today, if the Lord allows us, and there's a lot of different kinds of afflictions. There's physical afflictions. There's afflictions in people's mind sometimes. There's afflictions in a home sometimes. I want to tell you, wherever you are, serve God. Let your roots go down and let people know that there is a God. It goes on to say, in necessities. You know what a necessity is? That's where there's not enough of something. There's not enough of something. It's a necessity. Whether that is a necessity of problems between people. There's a problem. It's a necessity. There's things going on. Or whether it's not having enough food, enough to pay the bill. You know what the Lord wants us to do? He wants us to hold on and have faith and seek Him because He'll help us. We believe that. You know why? Because we patiently endured through our life and we've watched God work. And because we have that hope, we trust Him, don't we? We live for Him. The Lord wants us to do that. He doesn't want us to do that in a way that we are just, oh, woe is me. Surely I can hang on. Folks, we are the light of the world. Do you know people in the world have necessities too? Heard about this little 4-year-old boy? I don't know if they've ever heard about, I don't know if he knows anything of the gospel or his mother. But you know, they have a necessity, don't they? This little boy's totally deaf with probably no hopes of recovering. And here he has this infection going up into his brain. You know, other people have problems too. What God wants us to do is show them something they don't have. And that's God. And I don't know about this boy. But, you know, the Lord wants our life. And He allows these things, and He wants our life to be a life full of the grace of God. I believe He wants us to do that. He says, in distresses. You ever been in a distress? A distressing situation? The Lord wants us to serve Him at that time, when we're in a distress. In stripes. I've never suffered stripes, except maybe when I was a little boy. I might have had a few. I've never suffered stripes for the ministry. But Paul did. But you know what he did? He kept on serving God. And when I read those things, and I see how they stoned Paul, and he got up and went to the next town and started preaching the gospel. You know what that tells me? There was a grace from God that is more than human people have. He went on, and he went on and preached the gospel to the next town. Now, they stoned him. I'm guessing he had bruises because they thought he was dead. That means they probably hit him in the head. He might have had black eyes. I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? Paul went right on, and he proved the power of the gospel. Do those stones have power over him? Oh, no. He went right on to the next town and preached the gospel. And imprisonments. I haven't ever been in prison, thankfully. I don't ever want to be imprisoned. I hope I never am. But for Paul, it was where God wanted him at times. And he spent time. In fact, he had the time to write Philippians. He had the time to write some of these letters because he was in prison. The writer of Pilgrim's Progress had time to write a number of books. John Bunyan wrote quite a few books because he was in prison. Did they take away his hope? Did they hurt him? Yes, they did. They hurt him. Did they take away his hope? No. He sat there in that prison and wrote book after book. And we have them today. I have a number of his books. You know, God wants us to be like that. We're not to let the world overcome us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. In imprisonments, in tumults. You ever been in a tumult before? Where things was all out of order and things going on and the roof was being raised, as they say, and all of these kind of things. Sometimes the Lord chooses us to serve Him in tumults. Be patient in it. Don't fly off the handle and throw away our testimony to people because we're defending our thing. We serve Him in tumults. We serve Him when there's confusion on every hand. Do we know all the answers? Not necessarily at the time. It's confused. There's things going on. At times there is, isn't there? We serve God in that. Sometimes God allows us to be in that. That those who are proved may be made manifest, the Bible says. And so the Lord expects us to manifest a spirit that's undeniable to the world. And if we're not careful, we get in the middle of things and we lose that blessing that the Lord. And when we do that, we trash our testimony. If we do that, we lose what God wanted us to have in those things. In fastings, Paul was somebody, another place he wrote that he fasted oft. You know, Paul was someone that wasn't afraid to do without, that he might minister to others, that he might draw near to God. That's not easy on the flesh, is it? But I believe a number of us can say God has met us there, hasn't He? Number of times the Lord will do that. By pureness, by knowledge. You know, each one of these things is a place that God wants us to minister in. By pureness, by the cleanness of our life. That one place He talked about, the Word talks about those that that had a... What's the scripture? No, that had a... They had power with their testimony. they purchased to themselves a good degree. Those that labored and lived in such a way that they purchased to themselves a good degree. And much boldness in the faith, I believe it says. That was the scripture I was trying to get to. But you know, this morning, by the power that God lives in our life, keep our life clean and pure. You know, when we don't, if we don't, it ruins not only our testimony to others, but it ruins our... How could we have confidence in God? How can we have confidence in our own experience with God? Keep yourself pure. Young folks, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself from things that will damage your experience and damage your life and separate you from the Lord. By pureness, by knowledge. You know, the Lord wants us to take to the world a different knowledge than they have. You know, when you begin to read about the things that that the scientists of the world today and the people that are well learned, it's pretty amazing. I've been following this plane disappearing. And you know what I found out? There's people that are really in tune. They understand what's going on in that plane from one end to the other. And they found that there's this little ping that goes off every hour. And they found out that plane flew for about 4 hours or more after the last contact they had, because somebody knew this was going on. Knowledge. You know, there's a knowledge that we have that the world doesn't have. It's a knowledge that heals, that makes homes right. It's a knowledge that God wants to give us. It's a knowledge that He wants us to give to other people. The knowledge of the truth of the gospel. The things that make a man right between him and God. The Lord wants to give knowledge, and He wants it through our life to bring that to people. He goes on to say, by long suffering, by kindness. You ever had somebody suffer a long time with you? I have, and I'm thankful for that. You know, there's people that show forth this kind of spirit, isn't there? And they suffer with your disability or whatever. They suffer long. We suffer with other people, don't we? The Lord wants us to do that. Because you know what that tells the world? We're approving ourselves as the ministers of Christ. We're bringing to the world something they don't have. Long suffering. By kindness. By the Holy Ghost. You ever had somebody be... You ever watched kindness do its work? I have. I've told this story before, but when our neighbor had shot our dog, and I went and asked him, did you shoot our dog? And he said, I wouldn't tell you if I did. And he was an arrogant, ugly person. But the time came when Rosie and the children took him some cookies, and they said they saw a tear come down his face. You know what happened? That man, after a time, sat back here in services a number of times. Kindness in the Holy Spirit and with the working of the Lord will win people to the Lord. Kindness will break down a hard heart. Which is more powerful? Evil and hatred and hard-heartedness or kindness? I believe it's kindness. Kindness can break down those kind of barriers this morning. And the Lord wants us to be ministers of God through kindness, through reaching other people in that way. By the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. We won't do it on our own. We know that. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, Him pinpointing in our life, giving us a little burden to call someone, giving us a burden to speak to our child at the right time. You know, that is invaluable, isn't it? And you find out, what if the Lord had not have brought that to pass? What would have happened? You know, we need the Holy Ghost, don't we? We need Him working in our life. We need Him to be working with us, to be convicting us of righteousness. He said, the Lord said when He came, He would convict the world. I'll read a little more here. By the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. And I want to just challenge us right here. Folks, this is one of the bedrocks of a Christian life. If we want people to believe, have love that's unfeigned. Have the kind of love that is strong, that doesn't let a person go. Well, it's their problem. They go away, I don't care. They shouldn't be that way. Well, you know what? We shouldn't be that way. The Lord wants us to love people, to pray for them, to try to reach for people, to try to help people. The Lord wants to put love unfeigned in our heart for those that maybe are not lovable. That's what the Lord does for us, isn't it? He reaches out to us when we're not lovable. The Lord wants us to approve ourselves as the ministers of God by love unfeigned. By love that's not put on because we have it down here. We've been praying for them. They've been talking about us. They've been hurting us. Yeah. We've been praying for them. We've been begging God for them. We've been looking for a place to try to trip the devil up in this thing and bring reconciliation. That's God's people. That's what He wants us to be. He wants us to be on the front lines of these things. Be in our lives. Allow God to work in us. Did He put us in that place where we have to show love on purpose? Yes, He did. Maybe He did. Maybe He did put us in that place where they talked about us because God wants to talk to their heart. He wants to show them what love unfeigned is. He wants to show them what somebody that really cares about somebody acts like because they pray for them. They beg God for them. And I want to tell you, if we're doing that for those that hurt us, when we talk to them, it'll be different. It'll be different if we have that kind of love. When we talk to them, they'll know. They'll feel our love. And it's not just words, but by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You know, the Lord wants all of these things to be in our life by the word of truth. He wants us to fight our battles. He wants us to live life by the word of truth. Not by whatever seems right at the moment. That's the world's idea. We have truth that we live by. And the Lord wants us to live that way. By the power of God. By the armor of righteousness. On the right hand and on the left. You know, the people that fought in battles at this time, they held a shield in one hand and their sword in the other. And they had armor. They had things they used on both hands. Maybe sometimes they could use the sword with the right and the left hand. You know, the Lord wants us to have the armor of righteousness on all sides. He wants us when we do battle with the devil, because it's not really with people. It's the devil that we're fighting. You know, He wants us to arm ourselves, fight. Break down those barriers. Break down those things that the enemy wants to put in. By honor and dishonor. You know, this seems to me like one of the hardest things of all. There's two things here. You know, by honor, and I was reading a little bit in one of the commentaries on that. And it was saying there's not very many people that really have honor that can really serve God in it. They fall to it many times. But you know, if people honor us, God wants us to still just keep serving. Never get away from first base, serving God, serving people, loving them. But you know, the dishonor is just as hard, seems like. You know, when things, Jesus said in Matthew there, he said, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know, that would be dishonor, wouldn't it? When they say things against you falsely and they're telling people and there's no way for people to really know the truth. You know, the Lord calls us to serve him in that place. And he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I'm working in the middle of all this honor and all this dishonor. I'm working in the middle of it, the Lord is, if we will let him. As by evil report and good report, the same thing we were talking about. By evil report, when people speak evil of us and cast our name out as evil, and by good report, we serve God. We serve other people. We're ministers of righteousness to people, aren't we? As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. Paul had a lot to say here. As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How does that work out? As sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, it's the power of God. Because the Lord wants to give us balm. He wants to give us, in the midst of sorrow, he wants to visit us. He says here, as poor, yet making many rich. How can you do that? When you're poor, how are you going to give to somebody else? That's the gospel, isn't it? Paul left a prominent place in Jewish society. He left the promise of really an upstanding situation with plenty of money and all of those things. He left that and he went. And we find that Paul suffered need sometimes. He suffered at different times. And you find that in his letters. But he said, as poor yet making many rich. I don't know how your situation is. Most of us here have plenty. Most of us here have enough. Most of us here have more than enough. But you know, wherever we are, the Lord wants us to make many rich. I believe that. Because it's not money that makes people rich. It's something much greater than that. It's something deep within that you cannot have without God. And we're ministers of reconciliation in those ways. Yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Paul didn't feel poor. I don't think Paul felt a bit poor. He was rich. He had the God of heaven beside him. He was going to a place, his retirement was going to be amazing. he was waiting on that day. And so he served the Lord in all these things. And he said, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Just want to leave us with those thoughts this morning. Lord, teach us that our heart will be open. That our mouth will be open to people. That our heart will be enlarged to people. Instead of zeroing in on my own set of circumstances. Lord, teach us in these things to serve God. Paul was in prison. He couldn't get out. But you know, he served God there. He was faithful to the Lord. And the Lord used him there. He wasn't able to get out of that prison right then. But you know, and he eventually got his head cut off. But you know, Paul served God in all that. Do we find any of those things taking away our faith in God? Oh, be patient, therefore, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Be an example, just like the farmers wait. They wait for their crops to come in. Be patient with the Lord. Be patient with what he's doing in our life. He'll bring it to pass. Our crop will come in. The Lord wants to bless every one of us. I believe he wants our lives to be a rich fountain. And in fact, the Lord said that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. Something the world needs. The Lord wants to give us living water this morning in our lives. Amen.